Let patience have her perfect work. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob. This is podcast number 62. It's February 10, 2015. Today, Mr. Mueller relates the process that he went through to determine God's next move in his life, and I think you're going to find it informative and helpful in your own personal Christian life as you seek the will of God. Chapter 18, God Builds a Miracle. For nearly 10 years, I never had any desire to build an orphan house. On the contrary, I preferred spending the funds which came in for present needs, enlarging the work according to the means the Lord gave. But at the end of October, 1845, I was led to consider this matter in a way I had never done before. I received a letter from a gentleman who lived on the street where the four orphan houses were. He courteously informed me that the residents in the nearby houses were inconvenienced by the orphan houses on Wilson Street. He asked me to do what seemed best to me about the matter. I was very busy that week, and I had scarcely any time to consider it further. On Monday morning, however, I set apart some hours for prayerful consideration of the subject. I wrote down the reasons which appeared desirable that the orphan houses should be moved from Wilson Street, and the reasons against moving. First, the reasons for moving from Wilson Street. Number one, the neighbors feel inconvenienced by the noise of the children during playtime. This complaint is neither without foundation nor unjust, although one could not find fault with the dear children on account of it. It would probably give me a headache if I lived next door to an orphan house. I therefore should do to others as I want them to do for me. This point had never before appeared to me in so serious a light. Number two, the greatness of the number of the residents in the houses has prevented the drains from working properly, and it has often affected the water in one or two of the neighbors' houses. These words, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of," Romans 14:16, and "Let your moderation be known unto all men," Philippians 4:5, seem to be two important portions of the Word of God to be acted upon in this matter. Number three, we have no proper playgrounds on Wilson Street. Our playground is only large enough for the children of one house at a time, but children in four houses should have the benefit of it. We cannot arrange for all the children to use the playground because meals, school hours, weather, and other hindrances interfere. Number four, no ground is available for a garden near the orphan houses. By moving from Wilson Street and obtaining premises surrounded by farmland, we would be able to benefit the children. They would have a better opportunity for practical labor, and it would give the boys an occupation more suitable for them than knitting. Number five, the country air would be much better for the health of the orphans than the polluted air in the city. Six, in times of sickness, we are too confined in the houses on Wilson Street. We do not have a single spare room in any of the houses. Although the Lord has mercifully helped us through such times in the past, yet it has not been without inconvenience. We sometimes have more children in one room than is desirable for good health. Even when there is no sickness, it would be desirable to have more room. The more I have considered the matter, the more I am persuaded that no ordinary large house, built only to accommodate 10 people at most, will be suitable for a charitable institution of any considerable size. There seemed to me, therefore, no other choice but to build. Then, reasons for remaining on Wilson Street. Number one, God has plainly given us this location. As we have grown in size, God has opened up other houses on this street to be available for our use. Until now, God has pointed out Wilson Street as being the spot where this work should be carried on? Could the time have come for moving? Number two, perhaps we should rent more houses on Wilson Street. We could use two houses for orphan houses and one of them for an infirmary in case of sickness. But then the objection of the neighbors would remain on account of the noise of the children. The drains would be more unsuitable since they are not constructed for so many residents, and to alter them would be a heavy expense. The playground would be even less efficient. Lastly, there is no reason to think that we could rent any additional houses. Number three, great objections exist against building. A considerable sum is required, which could be spent for the orphan's present needs. The pilgrim character of the Christian seems to be lost in building a permanent structure. Finally, it will take a great deal of time to make the necessary arrangements for it. And so all these objections only hold good if I needlessly set about building. If I could rent premises which are in every way suitable for the work and I still preferred to build, then those objections would apply to this case. But we could not be accused of needlessly spending money in building instead of renting. Neither would time be wasted. Therefore, these three objections just mentioned were removed once I saw plainly that no other choice remained but to build. After I had spent a few hours in prayer and consideration over the subject, I began to see that the Lord was leading me to build. His intentions were to benefit the orphans and better order of the whole work. Furthermore, he wanted to show that he could and would provide large sums for those who need them and trust in him for them. During no period had the number of the applications for the admission of orphans been greater than just before I was led to think about building. That same afternoon, I laid the matter before my fellow laborers in the church to get their opinion. They were all in agreement that they saw no reason not to build. The next day, my dear wife and I began to meet for prayer about this matter and planned to do so every morning. We asked God for clearer light concerning the details of the project. Being assured that it was His will that I should build, I began asking the Lord for money. Sufficiently large premises to accommodate 300 children would be needed, together with a large piece of ground near Bristol for the building and a small farm. This would cost at least £10,000. I was not discouraged by this, but trusted in God. We continued meeting for prayer every morning for 15 days, but not a single donation came in. But my heart was not discouraged. The more I prayed, the more assured I was that the Lord would provide. It is as if I had already seen the new premises actually before me. Since the beginning of the Scriptural Knowledge Institution, God has led me forward and enlarged the work without my seeking after it. My only motives are the honor and glory of God, the welfare of the church, the physical and spiritual welfare of destitute orphans, and the welfare of all those who would take care of them. After praying again and again about the matter, I still remained in perfect peace. I therefore decided it was assuredly God's will that I should go forward. On November 15, a brother arrived to work for a little while in Bristol. I told him about having to move the orphans from Wilson Street. He felt that it was God's will that I build. This dear brother's judgment greatly encouraged me. He also suggested that I seek God's direction for the design of the building. He said, "You must ask help from God to show you the plan so that all you do may be according to the mind of God." I waited daily upon God for finances for this work, and not a single penny had been given to me. Nevertheless, this did not discourage me. My assurance increased more and more that God, in His own time and in His own way, would give the means. More than at any period in my life, I was struck by these verses from James 1:2-4. "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. These words spoke to my heart about building the orphan house. I asked the Lord to increase my faith and sustain my patience. I knew that I needed patience as well as faith. On the 36th day after I began to pray, I received £1,000 for building the orphan house. It was the largest single donation I had ever received. But I was as calm and quiet as if I had only received 1 shilling, because I was expecting to receive an answer to my prayers. Even if £5,000 or £10,000 had been given to me, it would not have surprised me. December 13, my sister-in-law told me that she met a gentleman in London who read the story of the Lord's dealings with me. She told him that I planned to build an orphan house, and he, an architect, offered to make the plan and supervise the building gratuitously, free. He's also a Christian. The fact that this offer comes unsolicited and from a Christian architect especially shows the hand of God. December 23. This is now the 50th day since I have come to the conclusion to build. Not even 1 penny has come in since December 10. This morning I have been particularly encouraged because the Lord sent me the £1,000 and the promise from that Christian architect, whose name I don't even know yet. I've begun to be more specific in my prayers. We should have a large piece of ground, at least 6 or 7 acres, in the vicinity of Bristol. This will, of course, be very expensive, but my hope is in God. I have not sought after this thing, nor has it begun with me. God has unexpectedly led me to it. The day before I received my neighbor's letter making me aware of the inconveniences caused by the orphans, I had no thought about building a house for the orphans. My prayer is that God will continue to give me faith and patience. If he helps me to wait on him, help will surely come. Well, we're going to stop in the middle of that chapter, since it's a pretty lengthy chapter this time. We'll finish it up tomorrow. God's Word is enough, isn't it? God's Word gives us the principles we need to guide us. It's the light to our path. And then the Holy Spirit in us takes those principles and turns them into life and opportunity and all kinds of things in our lives. Thanks for tuning in. I hope to talk with you again very soon. Don't forget to send me an email now and then, ask a question, or suggest a topic that you would like me to cover on this daily podcast. And what else do I want to tell you today? I've got books at Sermon Audio. Just go to Sermon Audio and look up my blog called Books by Bob, and it'll tell you how to get those different books. You can always go to Amazon and order them there. Just look under Bob Faulkner, F-A-U-L-K-N-E-R. But I got to warn you, there's another Bob Faulkner selling stuff on Amazon, selling books. He sells novels. You'll know that's not me, okay? The things that I sell are all about Jesus and the Word of God. I think you'll be able to tell the difference between the two. Anyway, let patience have her perfect work. That's James 1:4. Let patience have her perfect work in your life.